Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Fresh out of the practice field and a Lane Kiffin press conference, as well as visiting with some of the Ole Miss Rebels after their latest football practice, Ben Garrett joining me, Billy Embody, on Talk of Champions, presented by our friends at Riverland Roofing, as well as rebelgrove.com. This whole episode's breaking down everything we saw and heard from Ole Miss football practice, as well as Lane Kiffin's press conference. It starts right now.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
You're locked into Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss podcast powered by Riverland Roofing and featuring Ben Garrett and Billy Embody of Rebel Grove.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to this Talk of Champions. Happy Wednesday to you guys. Halfway through the week, hope you guys are enjoying one more week closer to college football beginning. NFL's got underway, training camps in full swing, and we are in full swing on Talk of Champions. Billy Embody joined by Ben Garrett, of course. Riverland Roofing presents everything that we do. 662-644-4297. Give them a call or text today at Riverland, and visit riverlandroofing.com for more on how they can help you with whatever roof issue you've got going on. Ben Garrett, hope you were able to cool off after viewing the Rebels this Wednesday morning. What did you see? What was your biggest takeaway right off the jump?
Really, really fun practice. I'm going to just get that off the jump. I mean, it was really fun to watch them compete. Some certainly interesting developments, I think. The first thing that comes to mind, and we've been talking about this Ole Miss secondary ever since fall camp started, but Ricky Fletcher, the South Alabama transfer cornerback who Sage Ryan, LSU transfer safety, who's been starting for Ole Miss since the spring when he got here, called him a lockdown corner potentially. He has now emerged or stepped up into first-team reps and got those first-team reps today. And, man, you see it. You see the physicality. It was all about the playbook, getting his feet underneath him in the first week plus. But today he was kind of unlocked a little bit. And in the viewing periods we got to see him matched up team first team offense versus first team defense, got to see him matched up against Harrison Wallace, who's been, if anybody's been listening to Talk of Champions for any stretch of time here in fall camp, a standout of fall camp, the Penn State transfer wide receiver, and both times matched against Ricky Fletcher. The ball hit his hands, but the physical nature of Ricky Fletcher won out and he got two PBUs. There's just so much about him that you like. He's the closest thing I think this team has to a lockdown corner. We've said it before, but it bears repeating. What made that Ole Miss defense so good last year was, of course, the record-setting tackles for loss and the sacks and all that kind of stuff. But also, Trey Amos owned one side of the field all to himself the minute he arrived on campus. I'm not saying Ricky Fletcher is going to be that guy, but if he can even be a third of that guy, what a huge boost it would be for this Ole Miss defense. And today, in his first reps, really, his first real run with the first team. He certainly looked the part of the lockdown corner that he could potentially be, as Sage Ryan said to us. I don't pretend to be a football expert or have scout's eyes to know what a cornerback's supposed to necessarily look like, but you can't coach 6'3", you can't coach almost 200 pounds, and you can't coach physicality, and Ricky Fletcher has it in spades. Now, he hasn't been healthy for a little while. He missed all of last year because of injury, but in 2023 was a really productive cornerback at South Alabama, and you can tell the difference. So I thought that was the number one thing, is Ricky Fletcher getting those first team reps. But other things too that I've written down, and we're going to go through a lot of this stuff, but a few things that I wanted to hit on to start, because don't really need to go deep dive into it all that much, but Caleb Cunningham, the five-star wide receiver signee, the number one recruit in Mississippi in the 2025 class. He's out of that black no contact jersey. I think he was only in it to begin with because they were slowly bringing him along, unlike Winston Watkins, who got here in the spring. Caleb Cunningham didn't get here until the summer. So the first week and a, not a half, but a week and change were really used for him to get him acclimated. And today, because Caden Lee, they're taking it easy with him right now, he got some run with the second team, getting some reps, both at outside, well, no, only at outside corner behind Deshaun Stribling, I think, at X. So that was something that stuck out to me as well. And also, Maryland transfer offensive lineman Terez Davis was getting some look at guard. And that shows you the depth of options that they have on that offensive line. We talked about that sneaky depth, having more options than they probably thought they originally did, Bill. And that's another good example of that. So that's off the top three things that stuck out, but so much more, including Winston Watkins, who continues to show out, that we're going to talk about even more. But man, it like I said, a really fun day. They got after it. They're in full pads. Football is football, and they're getting after it now, man. And now it's starting to feel like that. And yeah, it was hot as heck, man. I was, you know, I sweat in the shower, but even still, bro, I was sweating like a toasted cheeser out there, you know? A
lot different than that Monday night practice Yes. You guys got.
That's all the other media members were saying. It's like, man, makes you really appreciate Monday evening, because Monday evening just felt like, you know.
Yeah, you're missing out on dinner with the fam. Yeah. You're missing out on, you know, your show if you have a Monday night show, all of those things. But, man, 20, 25 degrees, I'm sure, makes a lot of difference out there. I know it does. But, you know, the interesting thing you said is Terez Davis. And Lane Kiffin met with the media today, and I don't want to say let the cat out of the bag, but it's been a minute since he's talked. And he said Patrick Kudus is out. So there we go. They're actually, you know, holding him out, dealing with something there. And that's something, you know, the media has observed when they've been in practice watching the Rebels. And like you said, that's kind of one of those things where it shows the depth. But really, you know, Terez Davis is a versatile football player that they added from Maryland. And you can be a tackle at Maryland, and look, that SEC speed most of the time is different. And so he ends up kicking inside to play a little guard right now, give them another option. You know, Delano Townsend has been in there. PJ Wilkins has been in there. You know, we've talked about, you know, Bryson Sanders being an option at center as well. That is a position where Patrick Kudus has been largely at guard. And for Terez Davis to be in there, that says a lot maybe about where his situation is. Again, Lane's going to keep that close to the vest, but for them to quote unquote move him, again, it's early in his career. He was a spring ad. He's not somebody that's been cemented into a position,
right?
But that guard positioning really shows that he can play, I would say, four of the five, maybe. I mean, in a pinch, I guess, could play center if they really wanted to train him there. But he is exactly what they thought they were getting when they brought him in from Maryland, somebody that could be a swing tackle, somebody who could play a little bit of guard. And I think you see that versatility all over the place on this Ole Miss roster. You know, they have the depth at wide receiver. You could probably pick a couple of guys playing at the outside receiver spot who could, in a pinch, play slot. We've seen Caleb Odom move to tight end. We've seen kind of the different body types at running back as well. When you look at this team as a whole, whether it be the secondary or the offensive side, and they've been able to find a bunch of versatile players, and that helps your buck in this rev share NIL world go a little bit further. When you have guys that can play multiple positions like you see in the NFL all the time, they end up keeping that offensive lineman that can play four of the five, maybe even five positions. And that's where Terez Davis, being somebody they brought in late, really is at least paying off early on here in camp.
A lot to unpack there. Sorry that I got a phone call in the middle of that, but a lot to unpack there. I want to start with Patrick Kudus. He has not been in black non-contact jersey. So while Lane said he's out, that out is carrying a lot of weight. You know what I mean? It's doing a lot of heavy lifting because it could mean a number of things. It could mean that they're only protecting him and he is getting in with individual drills. There are some players on this team that they don't need to see a whole hell of a lot of in fall camp to know what they're going to get come the season on August 30th. And I think Patrick Kudus is one of those guys, meaning that yes, he could be dealing with something injury-wise, but I truly believe if the season started this Saturday and not August 30th, Patrick Kudus would be starting somewhere, maybe at center, but that's Bryson Sanders' spot for now. And hopefully he can hold up and be that guy because it's such an important piece for the overall outlook of that room, but probably at a guard, more specifically right guard. Terese Davis speaks to the positional versatility that a lot of these linemen have that we've been touching on here on Talk of Champions, powered as always by Riverland Roofing. One thing we've been talking about is how a PJ Wilkins has tackle versatility, but he's playing guard. Delano Townsend is strictly only a guard, but it also lends to what they've gotten out of Connor Howells, a true freshman who looks really good physically. Devin Harper, who we've already talked about, the number two left tackle right now, and I'm telling you, he has a similar look as, and I'm not going to ever say Laremy Tunsil because no one has ever looked like Laremy Tunsil, but certainly Michael Orr and John Jerry and Bobby Massey, all guys that signed as true freshmen and got in. They broke in at guard, not necessarily tackle, but really got into the rotation very, very soon. And he looks every bit the physical monster that those guys were. He could still add weight. He could still get even bigger and faster and stronger. But Devin Harper looks like one of the better offensive linemen physically on this team. And Connor Howells, I'm not sure, doesn't have a similar looking upside to him. I think Devin Harper is a multi-year starter in waiting. Connor Howells could be similar in that respect, and he's already getting some rotational stuff with the second team. It just speaks more to they can take their time. They can do whatever they need to get Patrick Kudus right. Just if it's an injury, if it's just wanting to protect him, he is doing some individual stuff, has never been in a black non-contact jersey, but Lane did say today he's out. What that means, that's up for Lane interpretation. And anybody can have their own opinion on it because he doesn't speak candidly on injuries ever. That's just not his philosophy. But Patrick Kudus, if the season started tomorrow, I think he would absolutely be in that lineup. But they can take that time with him. They can be patient with him and make sure that they get him, wrap him up in bubble wrap, like you like to say, Bill, and get him to the season opener because they have a lot of options that they did not have back in the spring. Diego Pounds has been good. Jaden Williams has been good. Delano Townsend has done some good things. PJ Wilkins has done some good things. So far, Bryson Sanders has held up at center, but that's like if Bryson doesn't click immediately, they're not going to waste time. They have an option to go to Patrick Kudus if they need to, because today, you know, Xavier Harris was, man, he was a terror in team. But that also speaks to, like, I don't think we talk enough about Xavier Harris, right? I think he should be an all SEC preseason. Yeah, I mean, it's insane. This dude's a 6'7 monster who played at an all-league caliber level last year, right beside Walter Nolan. He's going to be that exact same force for Ole Miss this year, if not even better. He's a top three-round potential pick in the NFL draft. He's a consistent tear and was pushing pressure into the face of Austin Simmons all during team. I think the biggest thing for me is – the offensive line has options and they can take their time and they can see what they have. They can experiment with Terese Davis all because they have done a good job, better probably than they have in previous years, of stocking that offensive line with realistic options. I would dare say, Bill, and you can argue against it, I would dare say that Devin Harper and Connor Howells are the most ready-made offensive linemen signed out of high school in Lane Kiffin 6 years. I truly believe that to be the case. Both of those guys have the look, and both of them look like they belong. They don't look like you got to wait 3 years to see what they had. You know what I mean? To see what they have. These guys look like they're ready to get in there and get after it. And right now, so far, they're doing exactly that. I'm a big, big believer in Devin Harper. I really am. He just looks like those offensive linemen that you expect to step in. But that unit, it's a relief. You know, it's a relief, really, because going into the spring, all of us were talking about the two problem areas, the offensive line and the secondary. Both of them are figuring some things out, but offensive line is much further ahead than even I think Ole Miss anticipated at this point. And that's such an encouraging sign for an offense that's building around an Austin Simmons who is going to have peaks and valleys. He is going to have those things. Don't get it twisted. As talented as he might be, it's such a good starting spot that he's in. Austin Simmons is going to make some mistakes. He's going to force some things when he shouldn't. He's done that in practice. That's all part of the learning curve. But can you protect him and keep him upright? And can you supply him with enough options that with repetition, better and better he'll get? And by the end of the year, playing his best football. So, yeah, the offensive line, man, I can't say enough good things about how far they've come along, especially since we last saw them, which was in the spring, and they really had about five guys that they could rely on. Now they have 8, 9 that I could say realistically could help them next year.
And as we mentioned on the site over the summer, you know, Devin Harper and Connor Howes are two guys that, you know, they have to keep out of the facility. They have to shut them down and say, hey, you know, relax a little bit and not go so hard on things. And that's the type of player that we've talked a lot about just overall, that Lane Kiffin, Billy Glasscock, the scouting department, all of these coaches look for when they're going after them over the course of the recruiting process, both high school and transfer. And to get Devin Harper and Connor Howes, two big-time flips late in the process, they're going to be two players that the staff really looks hard at probably halfway through the season when guys are beat up, guys are banged up, they're tired, they need a little bit of a freshen up period. Like, you look ahead to, this is past the halfway point, but that Citadel game, man, you're going to be hoping by that point that they're going to be able to play half of that football game and give those guys coming off South Carolina almost like another bye for that end stretch of the season. That's the hope. And that was reiterated to us at the end of June, early in July. You know, these guys have consistently worked their tail off. So we'll see when, because there's a difference of, you know, lining people up in practice and getting them used to positions. But there's also a difference of, well, what would happen over the course of a game if somebody went down? They would move guys around depending on who it is. Or if it's at a certain point in the season, maybe they're ready to experiment. Maybe they're ready to trust some of these different players, these younger guys, not only Devin Harper, Connor Howes, but, you know, Terez Davis is still a young football player and still very much new to the program. So I think, as we've kind of talked about over the summer, when you bring in transfers and you bring in certain players, there's a certain expectation with what the Grove Collective and the school is going to pay them, both in NIL, rev share, all of that. And that's why it's a little bit easier to kind of go at practice like this when you see certain players getting burned with certain position groups or certain quarterbacks and things like that. And of course, when you have returning players, there are things that can, you know, easily be, you know, kind of determined a little bit as far as the takeaway goes. But I'm intrigued to see how the next 2 weeks of camp goes. This is that time where they're probably getting closer to figuring out, okay, we've put a lot on so-and-so's plate. He's a freshman. He's a transfer. Are they going to be a key piece for the Ole Miss Rebels this fall? Or are they going to have to grow into it over the course of the season? And it's that time where now is the time for players to make that final move. Like with Caleb Cunningham kind of being behind a little bit as far as, you know, being able to work into team drills, at least when the media has been in there and things like that. It's unique, you know, for a prospect as highly touted as he is. At the same time, doesn't appear like he's gotten as much opportunity because he's been in a black non-contact jersey. So now is that final push of camp. And then before you know it, it's going to be, you know, game week and preparing for Georgia State and the season opener. So this team, as much as, you know, Lane and I think some of the national media want to talk about how much they lost, which is important, there's also a natural pecking order because of how they've recruited this roster. You know, the secondary is a spot where we've seen a lot of people brought in the spring. Like you mentioned, Ricky Fletcher, if you were on our site, that was one where 2 weeks in, you know, right after the high school camps, you know, people were coming up and talking to us and saying, hey, Ricky Fletcher is a guy who no one's talking about.
They were pointing him out, weren't they, Bill?
Yeah.
They were pointing him out.
He was hurt as a 2020 in the 2024 season. So he came out in spring for South Alabama, put together great tape. Pete Golding and the staff saw it, loved it. And man, he checked the boxes for him. So at the same time, you had guys coming back from spring. So it's taken him a minute to kind of climb that depth chart into that, you know, quote unquote, starting opportunity. He's not locked in there by any means. There's multiple weeks of camp left, but this is the trajectory that a lot of people were talking about him with early in the summer.
Absolutely. And for me, when I look at Ricky Fletcher, like I said, he offers something that the others just don't. He's got the length and the physicality. Antonio Kite has played corner and safety over his career. So has Sage Ryan. It's a different type of play style. Sage Ryan is starting at free safety, and he's been great. Antonio Kite has held up as the starter opposite either Chris Graves or now Ricky Fletcher at that other starting cornerback spot. If you remember, the boundary was dominated by Trey Amos. And if Ricky Fletcher can, again, be a third of that domination and be on that island all to himself, the field corner, Antonio Kite's done the part. And he's certainly almost in a better starting place at that spot than they were last year. Remember, for like half the season, if not longer, field corner was a rotating door of just guys are trying to figure out who can be the guy, who can just hold up. Jaden Kennedy became that guy. And he got better. I know he had him some ugly moments that were some viral fun trolling moments for people on Twitter and things of that nature. But he did have an end of the year really strong finish and ended up transferring to Oregon, which was a disappointment because I think Jaden was in for a really great year here at Ole Miss. But Antonio Kite has done a good job being that guy and being that guy consistently. I mean, it was a rotating door before the game started last year as far as field corner, but Ricky Fletcher is just an important piece for that backfield because I'll be honest with you, as much as they were numbers deficient after the spring, Kapina Gushkin has been that guy at star. Today, Lane Kiffin mentioned how he reminded him a lot of Trey Washington. That was a four-year starter for Ole Miss. One of the most accomplished safeties as far as stats in the history of this school, certainly of the modern era. And that is – so that is not like – don't take that praise or that comparison from Lane lightly. That's a big comparison, and I really see what he's talking about. He's not the most athletic. He's not the biggest, but he's just solid as all get out and run support in defending the pass. He's just always around the ball. There are going to be some times where his lack of athleticism is probably going to get the better of him, but we saw that with Trey Washington. But more often than not, that man's going to be around the ball just as he's been since he's been in the starting lineup in the spring. To be honest with you, while he doesn't have the upside of Ricky Fletcher or even Sage Ryan, he has been the most consistent so far. Now, Ricky wasn't here in the spring, but Sage has really settled in at free safety. Nick Cole is the strong safety right now. Jalen Braxton, I think, could end up the free safety because Sage Ryan is the strong safety. I've been saying that wrong this entire podcast. Forgive me. Jalen Braxton, I think, could emerge as the starting free safety sooner rather than later. But I think it says a lot that a guy who was a freshman All-American at Arkansas in 2023, Ole Miss wants him at safety when he played cornerback as that freshman All-American at Arkansas because guys like Ricky Fletcher and Antonio Kite and even Chris Graves, this is a very important year for him, they've come along. So the numbers are better, but that starting unit, really, I think we kind of know what it is right now. We know what it is. Ricky Fletcher and Antonio Kite, Chris Graves is still pushing. I think Chris Graves could very well start the season opener, but Kapina Gushkin is going to start at star. Nick Cole, I think, is the one question. Can Jalen Braxton be the free safety? Is Nick Cole good? Is he going to hold up? Just like with Bryson Sanders at center, it's a his time kind of deal. This is a multi-year guy, a veteran guy. And they need Nick Cole to be that because if he is, then Jalen Braxton could, if Antonio Kite or even Ricky Fletcher don't hold up, can be that corner. They have numbers now. And because of those numbers, you're starting to see the pieces fall into place. It was already doing that, though, but it looks different. I'm telling you, it just looks different when you got that physical 6'3 monster over there competing for every single rep against inarguably the strength of this team, if you listen to Lane Kiffin, the outside wide receivers for Ole Miss. I mean, this is a good group. And speaking of wide receivers, I don't know if you can find it on Twitter right here and now, Bill, but go pull up from our buddy Jake Thompson from Twitter. Winston Watkins.
He's fun, isn't he?
That kid is so much fun. Four-star signee. He had a really good standout spring. And today, because Caden Lee's in a black no-contact jersey, I don't think Caden's hurt. I think they're protecting Caden. What more do you need to see from Caden in fall camp? Let a Winston Watkins then get some run with the first team slot. Deuce Alexander keeps showing up. The Wake Forest wide receiver, can't praise him enough. I mean, he caught a touchdown in team drills and has really built strong chemistry. And you can see it with Austin Simmons. And I asked Lane specifically about Deuce Alexander after practice. And he said, he reiterated, yes, he has had a great camp. So it was like some validation. But this man right here, look at this. That's Winston Watkins going against Wendell Williams Jr., the transfer from ULM. And I'm telling you, he's got an incredible route mix. He can run routes as good as anybody on this team. I'm not saying he's going to be like Caden Lee. I'm not going to say he's going to be like Elijah Moore, but that's what they look like as freshmen in being able to run routes. I could see a similar career trajectory for Winston Watkins, similar to Caden Lee, to where, yes, as a freshman, minimal contributions, but he's in that rotation, and then second year, blow up, not necessarily be the second leading receiver, but possibly, because you can't coach that. You either have it or you don't. I mean, you can try to teach separation, but look at his feet. And that is a veteran who's played against some of the best competition, even though it was at ULM, it's a Sun Belt school. That's Wendell Williams Jr., who they like a lot, who is pushing to try to make some plays at safety. But, man, Winston Watkins looks really dead-gum good. And I think it's going to be hard for him to not get some run come the season opener on August 30th. He looks like Caden Lee did as a freshman, but he's a little bigger, right? I mean, Caden, the one thing he's always struggled with is adding weight. Winston's already got some weight. So he's one guy that we have to continue to mention as well. Keep him at the forefront. And that's why Lane keeps talking about these wide receivers, because, man, we're talking about Winston Watkins and Caleb Cunningham. These guys right now are like sixth or seventh, you know? Yeah, and that's insane considering what they lost, but also what they brought in and the number three ranked, I think, transfer class according to On3.
And the thing with Winston is, and look, I mean, he's listed on the roster at what, 6'3", or whatever it is. It was
listed as 6'3"?
Yes. Like,
no way.
Yes. Yes. That's what somebody said. Maybe it was a mistake. Maybe they've corrected it.
Come on.
But there was a whole thread. Yeah. It's since been corrected. It definitely was a thread on the board about him being 6'3". And I was like, guys, like, you can't grow like that in 3 months, really. I mean, it was
good. On the official site now, it says 5'10". I was going to give him 6 foot, but not 6'3".
No, like, he's not. I mean, he's shorter than me. I've met him, and I'm not exactly tall. And, you know, the thing with him, though, if you watch his tape from high school, he's the fastest guy on the field, and that most of the time. And that leads you to not sit there and watch what he's doing now at Ole Miss, which is routing people up, the footwork. It's something that you really have to pay a lot of attention. And that's why people poo-poo 7-on-7 and one-on-ones and skills camps and things like that. And just underwear, as Lane Kiffin said today, they are incredible for finding out the athleticism, the quickness, the twitch, all of those things. Like, why do you guys think college coaches offer kids after camps? I mean, they still do that. And that's because they need to work them out, see how athletic they are and things like that. Well, Winston Watkins being the fastest guy on the field, he just blows by people. That right there, like you said, is really high level stuff to do that. Now, the one-on-ones are always going to favor the offense. That, you know, defense doesn't have coverage help and things like that, but, or pressure on the quarterback, but that is really impressive footwork. That's impressive timing and just ability to set up his defender. And that's where I think with the depth of this wide receiver room, we're going to find out as the season goes along how much this whole rotation thing that Lane Kiffin talked about today really goes. Because they have the guys to do it. Is Winston Watkins going to end up being on that list in the SEC when those games roll around? That's a big question because – man, I love what Deuce Alexander does. I mean, he could play a little slot too, in my opinion.
He's had a great camp, and
yeah,
it doesn't matter where
you put it out big time today. You know, that was impressive.
Ole Miss fans, football is back, and there's only one place to make picks and win money all season long: Underdog. Playing on Underdog is easy. Simply pick whether your favorite players in any sport will go higher or lower on stats. For Ole Miss, that's touchdowns, receiving yards, interceptions, and more. Think Ole Miss quarterback Austin Simmons will go over or under 2.5 passing touchdowns in his debut against Georgia State? I'm thinking he gets at least 3 in a Rebel route to start the 2025-26 campaign. Could Ole Miss great and Philadelphia Eagle A.J. Brown go over 0.5 combined rushing and receiving touchdowns in the NFL opener against the Dallas Cowboys? Get your picks right and you can win up to 5,000 times your cash. And you can play with as little as $1. Download the Underdog app today and sign up with my promo code CHAMPIONS to score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. That's promo code CHAMPIONS. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog, Make picks, win money. Must be 18 years or older to play. 19 plus in Alabama and Nebraska, 19 plus in Colorado for some games, 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia. Must be present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. See UnderdogFantasy.com for details. Offer not valid in Maryland, Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In New York, call the 247-HOPE-LINE at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab-tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help. You save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
You know what was really cool to listen to from Lane, too, when I asked him the question about Deuce Alexander? He said that when they watched film of him and they're scouting him, and this is in the portal, they just saw a guy who he needed to get the ball more, right? He'd get flashy. He's like, why isn't this guy getting the ball more? I want to go to the comments real quick. Reb One, how's Caleb Cunningham doing? We covered him to start the show. Appreciate you joining us. But yeah, got some second team reps today, and we talked at length about him. Gary Grizzard, how's the offensive line in the front seven? We went in depth on the offensive line, but I'm going to again tell you one thing for sure. Do not sleep on those two true freshmen. Repeating what I said to start the show again, Gary, thank you for joining us. Go back and hear that whole breakdown. But two freshmen we really, really like, Connor Howes and Devin Harper, man. Those kids looked the part, in my opinion, the most physically ready-made offensive lineman out of high school, signed by Lane Kiffin in 6 years. So, yeah, man, thank you all for joining us. I love seeing the comments roll in. I love seeing the questions about stuff like, I don't know, Carlos, y'all heard about Garrett at LSU? That's a Billy question. What is that one?
Man, I've known Garrett Nussmeier almost 8 years now.
It's yeah, crazy. So what happened at LSU? What happened?
Is that just
is this something that's happening now?
I don't know. Are we about to change the title and live react?
No, I hope not.
Let's see. Let's see what Twitter says. Twitter always
because I wanted to cover one thing too. Speaking of these,
oh no,
what?
Okay, all right. Wilson Alexander, folks. Garrett Nussmeier. Wilson's great. He works for the Advocate in Baton Rouge. Really, really good reporter.
Why am I weirdly nervous?
Allegedly, not anything to be nervous about. Folks, okay. Garrett Nussmeier did not suffer a major injury today. Multiple sources said he's okay. I think you can breathe. So that's there you go. So
well, it was almost a disaster. Gee.
Yeah. I will say Twitter got going. Twitter got going a little bit.
Twitter tends to react very aggressively in one direction or the other, regardless of what actually happened. So, oh, man, I'm thinking like Garrett, what could possibly have happened to Garrett other than injury? So that's the first thing. So good to know that he's going to be.
I will say this. All right. They cannot lose Garrett Nussmeier.
Who's their backup?
Michael Van Buren. And I can tell you.
State.
Yeah, State. Wow. It would not be fun for LSU to go into Clemson with Michael Van Buren.
Wow.
But
I've never been allegedly a Garrett Nussmeier fan, to be honest with you. Like, yeah, he made some throws against Ole Miss, but God rest his soul, Kyron Lacy made more of an incredible play on the other end, in my opinion. Yeah. But I agree with you. They can't. That's the guy they can't lose. I mean, Ole Miss has guys it can't lose either, Bill. That's sure. Why they're protecting Caden Lee. That's why. They have depth at wide receiver, but like Caden Lee's just that important in that locker room on that football field. Patrick Kudus has been deemed a guy that, man, durability's been the issue his entire career dating back to Arkansas. Can we keep him healthy? Because if you can keep him healthy, not to mention the fact of his PFF grades, which you know, people have varied opinions on that. Me as a layman, you can only go by so much. And that's something that I at least pay attention to. And he's always been a high graded offensive lineman. But if Sam Pittman, just to bring it to a very basic level, if Sam Pittman, say what you want to as a head coach, as an offensive line coach, if he picks an offensive lineman, That man knows offensive linemen. I'm not saying he knows quarterbacks. I'm not saying he knows how to run a program, but I do know he knows how to run an offensive line. And, yep. I mean, this was one of his better offensive linemen when healthy. Add that little caveat, when healthy. So there are guys like Garrett Nussmeier for Ole Miss, too. Fortunately, it's not the trigger man. Now, Austin Simmons, yes, if he went down, goodness gracious, what would happen? But, I mean, he's a first-year starter, right? And I think they could – work some things out. They could figure out something. Like Trinidad Chambliss does not have the arm strength of Austin Simmons, but where he can't, you know, throw it like Austin can't run it like him. Right. So there's, He's going to play a role anyway. I mean, Lane's already said this. He said, look, guys, I wouldn't see a lot. I wouldn't expect, it's a very schematical question, he said, but I would be surprised if, I don't expect Austin to be involved in any quarterback runs. This is not Jackson Dart. That Jackson was a physical, like he wanted to run. He welcomed it. They're going to have to scheme it a little bit more this year with Austin. Not that he can't run. He can, but he's not the runner that Jackson was, and he's certainly not the runner that Trinidad Chambliss is. So I don't know if I believe in Trinidad Chambliss at this level as a passer from what I've seen, but I'm a football layman. That my opinion means Jack Turkey. But as a runner, man, he's going to play a role. They are going to scheme for him to have a role. AJ Maddox is back. He's got some zip on his throws. I would actually argue if Austin went down and they had to, God forbid, like knocking on every piece of wood over here. But if he were to go down, because that can happen, I wouldn't be surprised if AJ Maddox was like he stepped into whatever the role Austin was running. But Trinidad would still be involved with that. Does that make sense? Like he would still be, it wouldn't just be Trinidad show. It won't just be Austin, you know, AJ Maddox show. So there are a lot of guys just like that, but I'm just glad to hear that Garrett Nussmeier is doing okay, man, because you're right. If they I like Michael Van Buren. I do. And he did some good things at State in a really, really bad situation. But he is not Garrett Nussmeier. Yeah, he is not Garrett Nussmeier.
Yeah. Offensive line, front seven. We talked a little bit about that early on the O-line front. Just the versatility, I think, that with Jaden Williams, and we confirmed this, he wasn't at practice today, but I texted a source while we were on, and he was having a vet day. So
see, that's what
that's what I like about Lane too. I mean, you know, obviously he wouldn't say anything, but he's going to let people guess or whatever here and there. But from what I was just told, vet day, and he's played a ton of snaps. So we'll see some of that here and there. I'm sure that's like you said, kind of why they have Caden Lee in a black jersey, but the front seven, you know, I posted something on the site last night where, you know, this isn't a group, and I think this is a good question, Gary, because I can kind of explain a little bit, but there's not a star like a Walter Nolan, a Trey Amos, you know, guys like that they brought in through the transfer portal. And of course, when I say that, I mean, I covered Trey Amos as a high school recruit. I covered Walter Nolan's recruitment. Walter Nolan's a freak. It was about getting that out of him. And then when you look at Trey, he was also a freak, a great eval by ULL at the time. And they end up, sending him to Alabama. I think he was kind of behind some people.
He was their nickelback. Yeah. He only had very minimal stats as their nickelback.
And there's just not. There's, as of now, nobody that I've, you know, sources are saying like that guy that we brought in is going to be, whoa, like look out. Oh my gosh. You know, there's not that. There's depth, there's competition, there's talent. And in the front seven, that's also where they've homegrown a lot of that talent outside of what they brought in with Deshaun Womack and Prince Will Umanmielen. They've homegrown a lot of that talent, you know, Xavier Harris, Suntarian Perkins is going to come off the edge, play a little bit of traditional linebacker too. They're going to do all those things. And they really like the front seven that they've assembled with TJ Dottery coming back. And then their three transfers, especially Taj Chambers, who's taken a big leap up this offseason, playing at linebacker.
20 pounds.
Yeah. Now that's when you have time to put your head, you know, nose to the grindstone and eat and do all those things. It's a really good situation for guys over the course of the summer when the buy-in is that high. And for Taj Chambers, it's that year for him. I mean, this is his only year, so he's got to go out there and kill it. But the front seven, they feel pretty good about. Like they really like where that is trending. It might take a minute to figure out some personnel packages and what works, you know, when the lights are on and things like that.
but Pete Golding's very good at doing that at the same time. And so they've been productive. They're not probably going to set the sack record or get close to what they did last year as far as sacks and tackles for loss, but they're going to be a really solid unit that they feel confidently about them being able to be in that top 20 range and be one of the best defenses in college football again. And it's largely thanks to that depth that they've built out at that unit.
That's a really good point. I'm glad you brought up, I was reading some other comments too, how is Diggs and Thomas, but the front seven, I mentioned this a couple of podcasts back, but I talked to a source, and not to give it away, but it's the person who is one of the people who would absolutely know. They said, I'd take our eight in rotation on the defensive line over against anybody's in the country. And that's, you know, that will sound like smoke blowing up your butt, but it's coming from the source, right? Like the person who would tell you this, you go, oh, okay, well, I take it seriously. And, I think that says a lot because they lost Princely and they lost Walter Nolan and they lost J.I. And, but they've replaced them with some really quality transfers that have a lot to prove, but it's more where that excitement and that optimism comes from, I think, is more from what they've developed. I think Cam Franklin is exciting for them. He's been playing that J.I. spot where he's doing some rushing and he's playing defensive end primarily, but can slide down a defensive tackle and pass situations. William Echols is going to be a really good player for a long time. I think Ole Miss, it thinks he could be all league, this year, but there's some stuff he's still having to work on. They're behind veterans and Jan Brown and Xavier Harris, who again, we're not talking about Xavier Harris enough. And when I say we, I mean the media, all of us writ large. I'm not just talking about the local guys. I'm talking about national guys. Xavier Harris not only an NFL player. I mean, I'm not saying he's Jalen Carter, but dead gum. Like he's that disruptive. Maybe that's because Ole Miss's offensive line isn't as good as we think or something. I would tend to say he had a really good year last year, and that guy's in for a monster final year at Ole Miss. And wouldn't be surprising to me if Xavier Harris is the first Rebel drafted in the next draft. I think he could, like Walter Nolan was 17th and the first one taken before Jackson, who went in the first round, before Princely, before Trey Amos, who's going to start for the Commanders. He's already starting. Right? Ricky Fletcher, again, just be a third of that. No, it was Walter Nolan who went first. I wouldn't be surprised if Xavier Harris were not necessarily a first rounder because, I mean, I don't know how many first rounders or if any Ole Miss will have from this crop coming up, but he, I think, could be the first Rebel taken off the board because of not only how good he is, but he's still got some upside and projectability too. Now, Clifton asked about Logan Diggs and Dominic Thomas. Logan Diggs is the 1B. And I say 1B because A comes before B to Kewon Lacy right now. Kewon Lacy has more of a ceiling than Logan Diggs has. You know what you're getting with Logan Diggs, and that's a really quality running back when healthy. And now he is healthy after spending all year last year outside of the Gator Bowl rehabbing. And the Gator Bowl was just a way for him to get his feet back in playing shape, to feel what it was like again. Because let's be honest, that is not the Logan Diggs that Ole Miss is hoping to count on this year. That Logan Diggs is here. At least he's the best version of himself at Ole Miss. I wouldn't say he's back to full form yet. I mean, I think that's still going to take some time, and that's why he's the 1B, but he could get there, and he could be that guy that leapfrogged Kewon Lacy, who's currently, in my opinion, 1A. But depth charts don't exist either. I want to make that very, very clear. Depth charts do not exist right now, but if you made any guess on what I've seen, Kewon has been the guy that's run out there first. Logan Diggs is right there with him. And as far as Dominic Thomas, last year I think was a perfect encapsulation of what his role will be, except even more opportunity this year in short yardage potentially because they don't have J.J. Pegues. Maybe they throw Xavier Harris as that short yardage guy, but Dominic Thomas was effective in short yardage last year when they were having such running back struggles. He gave them a little bit of juice at times in games. He's a really strong special teamer. So he's not going to be a feature back. He's not even going to be the top three option for them, I think, right now. If for no other reason than he knows what the hell he's doing. He's the best prop, one of the very best at pass pro. And that does matter because I don't think Kewon is quite there yet as far as pass pro. Logan Diggs is a vet, but I mean, he hasn't been in that spot regularly. I think that's where he could get his most value or second most value behind short yardage. Dominic Thomas is in pass pro. So maybe that separates him from, say, a Shekhi Mills-Knight who, man, he looks great. He does. He's a true freshman. And
gotta figure out pass pro for sure.
Yeah, and the thing with Shekhi is, like, you knew if, like, his true freshman fall camp, Quinshon Judkins – was the best guy. He was like, this dude's running over everybody. I'm not saying Shakai's not going to be a great running back, but it's like he's not having the Quinshon camp that makes you go, oh, he's going to set a record in his freshman year, despite how much they love the guy. Four-star, crazy build, tall, all these kind of things. But Kyren Lacy's where it's starting right now. And I still don't think they're necessarily a finished product back there. It could be any number of mix, but it's certainly a better mix than last year when they just tried to get as many garbage pail options as they could from the portal, and it just didn't work out. So yeah, man, I think both of those guys, Logan Diggs and Dominic Thomas, are going to play a role in this team in winning football for Ole Miss in 2025-26. For Thomas, it's about that short yardage, the ability to pass pro, and also that's a valued special teamer for them. And man, for like, you haven't had to worry really about special teams at Ole Miss for years. Do not take that for granted. That's one of the three phases, and Ole Miss has been really good in that phase under Jake Schoonover for quite some time, and they love Lucas Caniero, the transfer from Western Kentucky. The only other guy really getting all SEC love or all America love preseason was Suntarian Perkins, and also Oscar Bird, who's a 24-year-old freshman from Australia who's transitioning to America.
Yeah, Australia, amazing, pure SEC Oxford.
Amazing. Carter Short, go watch my interview with him. My Rebel Gamers interview with Carter Short, the long snapper. I mean, this is a kid who he's multi-year starter. He could very well make the league because he's good at what he does, his job. Dominic Thomas is good at his job, so he'll have a role too.
All right, before we go on, do want to remind you guys about our friends at MyPerfectFranchise.net. Andy Ludicky, reach out to him today, 404-973-9901, or email him andy@myperfectfranchise.net. Andy can help you explore the franchise ownership world and set you up with the right opportunity for you, your family, your financial needs and goals. And whether you want to just completely give up on the corporate world and just go live the American dream and, you know, own your own business, you can do that with our friends at MyPerfectFranchise.net. And if you do contract with Andy on a franchise, he will donate a portion of what he receives for setting up the franchise back to the Grove Collective. He and his family got ties to Ole Miss. So make sure you reach out to Andy today, 404-973-9901. Ben, I do want to end on this. Ole Miss basketball, 2025-6 SEC schedule release. What is a game, as I'll throw it up on the screen here for you, that jumps out at you right away?
That they're opening on the road for the fifth time in the last 6 years. And I didn't do the full math, but, man, I feel like dating back – somebody do the math for me in the comments. Chris Saxton, what is the status of Patrick Kudus? Man, we touched on that for an extended time earlier in the show. Brother, we appreciate you joining us. I think if the season started tomorrow, the short version is – but go back and watch it, man. I appreciate you joining us. The short version is if the season started tomorrow, he's going to be in there. That's my opinion. They're taking it easy with him. But, man, I don't know how many years in a row – but dating back to the 2010s, friend, I'm telling you, I thought it was something crazy like 13 out of the last 20. Might be more, might be less. That's just ballpark bullcrap, and I'm terrible at math. But at least 5 out of the last 6 years, they've started on the road in the SEC. I don't understand. Like, last year was such a nice reprieve. They opened at home, right? And they got the nice little, oh, the SEC is here at home. And here they got to go to Oklahoma first. They got to go to
Norman's lovely January 3rd.
Oh, golly, man. I mean, that's the first thing that stuck out of me. And then the rest of it, you know, obviously the Florida game at Ole Miss. I mean, that's the defending national championship in February.
Nice little Saturday for that.
Oh, that's so much fun, man. I mean, it's going to be a good schedule because it's an SEC schedule. Now give the SEC credit, including Ole Miss on paper. Chris Beard is the best coach Ole Miss has ever hired. Period. On paper, there's never been a better resume. And frankly, I mean, if he can't do it here, nobody can. And he took Ole Miss to a Sweet 16 in his third year, which matched the single season greatest ever accomplishment in school history. So, man, in February, football is going to be gone. Florida at Ole Miss on the 21st of February. Oh, golly, that's the kind of thing Chris Beard's been trying to build toward, man, because this team, they're going to be a contender again. I really, truly believe that. I don't know. I think they're more athletic at this starting point than last year's team was. But last year's team, what it had in spades was dudes with a ton of experience. I mean, like, laundry list of experience. You're relying more on upside this year. Elias Carmody, whenever he arrives, and he will arrive sooner rather than, I mean, at some point he's going to be here. Like, he's a former Eurobasket MVP. They love him coming from Europe. He's been an NBA prospect already, listed in pre-draft stuff the last couple of years. He's coming to Ole Miss, and yeah, you love what he could be, but he hadn't done it at this level, the best conference in the country, in the SEC, right? So this team, there's more upside, they're more athletic, but there isn't the same kind of loaded up resumes, and they're having to take some chances on guys that have been up and down, like AJ Storr and Corin Johnson. But I like the team, and I certainly love the schedule, and I know that Chris Beard has got to be thinking that Florida at Ole Miss game on February 21, Bill, that could be a zoo, a madhouse at the Pavilion.
Can I say some of that might be a little unpopular?
Oh, okay. All right. Let me sit up straight. Hold on. Okay. All right. Okay.
The European move over, especially when they're coming this late in the summer. I'm going to advise, after years of seeing some of it go through outside of maybe a couple of Euros coming over to play college basketball, a little bit of patience just early on.
No, say what you really wanted to say.
No, that's it. Like,
expectations, period.
No, because he's getting the accolades. He's a high level performer, but there is also, it's a difference. It's a difference in contact. It's a difference in what they let go. And so non conference is going to be important for him to really dive into a bunch of minutes and get those learning experiences for the SEC. He's an older freshman. That helps. Physically, he should be fine. But I will just say that the patience piece, there will be probably some times that people are like, really? But that's why they also brought in some other veterans like Corin Johnson and some of these other guys.
Travis Perry, man, yeah. You better be ready.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's excited about Travis Perry. I mean, just the long-term future of what he's going to do at Ole Miss. I mean, you could tell when Chris Beard talks about him, there's something there. So. But yeah, with Elias Carmody, that is one thing that I'll say is I think long-term going to be really, really good. The early goings, there might need to be a little bit of patience as he gets speed under him. Yeah.
It could be rough. It really could. I wanted to close this out because I know, you know, we're kind of done, but I wanted to close this out with football because it's been another fun football show. And join us again. We'll be live after practice on Friday right here on Talk of Champions, powered as always by Riverland Roofing, 662-644-4297, riverlandroofing.com. Give me the one guy on both sides of the ball, but the one guy, if you had to buy stock on him, it can't be like Austin Simmons. It can't even be Caleb. I'm just saying, like,
you can't buy stock on a first-year starting quarterback?
No, yes, we can. Sure. Well, you know what?
But no, I know what you're saying.
You had to buy stock on some guy that's impressed you in fall camp. Go.
I mean, what I hear about Ricky Fletcher is just constant.
And when you buy stock, sometimes you want to buy stock when it's at its lowest price point, so it could skyrocket. Is what I'm saying.
Ricky, I'm buying it in June.
All right. Yeah, so,
but that would be the lowest. That would be the lowest. That would be the lowest.
All right.
So I'm going Ricky. I've been on Ricky.
Sounding more and more like Houston Dale Nutt with Enrique, like Enrique Davis.
I think half the people just turned us off. but then I will go with Treylon Ray. It sounds like somebody who might not start right away, but will play a big enough role that he's going to be somebody that people are really excited about next year. Because Design Stribling, Harrison Wallace, they're done after this year. So I'm going to go with Treylon Ray. I'm going to buy it low, I guess.
If I'm buying stock, and that means guys that I think could blow up, and that means that they could end up, you know, having the best draft and the best NFL career, but you're buying them right here and right now on August 6th on defense, it's hard, but I'm going to buy Cam Franklin. I want to buy Taj Chambers. But yeah. Taj Chambers actually done it before. But adding 20 pounds to that crazy athletic frame, a former wide receiver converted to linebacker at Missouri State, is friggin' nuts. And he doesn't look any different. He just looks like a ready-made SEC linebacker. But I'm buying it on Cam Franklin, and they're already like raving about his versatility. Pete Golding handpicked him. And on offense, just today, Winnie Watkins showed out, man. That's a good one. Winnie Watkins, at worst, he looks like Jordan Watkins, and he was a fourth-round pick of the 49ers. You know what I mean? I'm not saying he's going to be Jordan tomorrow. It might be till – I mean, it took Jordan till his year three to become Jordan Watkins. It might take till year three for Winnie Watkins, but, man, he's routing him up every single day like we showed you here on Talk of Champions because, man, that kid, he's in a great starting place. He's very similar as a route runner already to Caden Lee. And remember, Caden didn't arrive here as some like five-star or something or other. Yeah, Winnie was a four-star. I don't even think Caden was a four-star. But one thing Caden had over almost everybody else is you couldn't run routes as good as he can. And Winston Watkins, man, he's a lot like that.
I like it. Can't argue with those either. And it's going to be fun because we'll get more coverage out there on Friday. So make sure you head out to
– write these down for later.
Yeah, exactly. You know, take notes, find whatever degenerate bookie you can get to grab a 2026 Biletnikoff Award winner for Traylon Ray and the 2027 Biletnikoff for Winston Watkins. Get them now plus 25,000. So you guys can, just buy half of Oxford or something. I don't know.
get some help if you're actually making those bets, friend. You know, but call someone.
Those are like buying the penny stocks, right?
That's true.
So
that's what we'll call the next segment. You know, where are we at with penny stock buys? You know what I mean? For the old football team.
All right, everybody. Make sure you head over to rebelgrove.com. Sign up for just $1 for your first week and get access to The Athletic. You get a complimentary year of The Athletic included with your membership at Rebel Grove. So join us over there. And we appreciate all of you guys, hundreds of you, for listening to us babble on here on Talk of Champions, powered by our friends at Riverland Roofing. For Ben Garrett, I'm Billy Ambody. Have a great rest of your week, and we will catch you guys on Friday as the Rebels will be back out on the practice field. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you guys next time.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.